Good morning, everyone. It is Monday morning, 7 a.m. here for me, and I've decided to record episode 11, which is going to be called My Death and Rebirth of Self with the psychedelic drug ayahuasca. Now, for those of you that might not follow along on Instagram, I did have an ayahuasca ceremony last week, and what I will say is it was the most challenging thing that I've ever done in my life. It was a full day experience and it went for hours. And other people have been known to do it for days. I could not do that. For me, I hope, or maybe it's a one and done thing. Now, for those of you that are like, what the hell is ayahuasca? What is she talking about? Ayahuasca is a psychedelic plant-based drug. And it was originally used for spiritual and religious purposes by ancient Amazonian tribes, and it's still used as a sacred ceremonial drink, which is now finding its way more deeply into our Western cultures. But what makes it special is the DMT. Now, there are many studies about the same DMT being released from the dying brain. Hence why I've called it the rebirth and death. Because, look, what I will say is that it's extremely life-changing. I'm going to do some few prefaces in a moment, but it does include near-death experience, including feelings of transcending your body, traveling through ancient alternative realms, communicating with sentient entities, and so on. Or sentient beings. Entity, I'm not a huge fan of that word. Now, the psychedelic experience is extremely transformative, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. It is one of the most life-changing experiences that I've had. And I'm going to go into a hell of a lot more about it a little bit later on. And I actually found an incredible article this morning when I was trying to look for a way to better articulate what I experienced, because anyone that has done the ayahuasca, you'll know that it is extremely hard to articulate your experience, if at all. And obviously everyone's experience is completely different. Many of us do describe the exact same kind of experience, if that makes sense. Many people talk about, you know, meeting God or finding out the way that the earth works and how the world has come to be, and you know, spirituality is extremely deepened in those moments. Now, I want to preface first before we dive in by saying that people can experience extreme feelings of euphoria and beautiful out-of-body experiences, which I'm lucky was the reality for me. However, it can also create extreme paranoia. People have died. It's been known to bring back memories that those might have repressed. So you could go into this and a repressed memory that you have no idea ever happened to you comes through, which can obviously either be really beautiful or really, really traumatizing, and it can create that more dark and negative experience. It has, however, been used to successfully treat anxiety, treatment-resistant depression, addiction, and PTSD. And there is an incredible article on Healthline citing studies that prove this comment, which I'll link in the show notes. Now, I undertook my ceremony last week with experienced shamans in a beautiful ceremony, and they were such an integral part of it being a positive and wholesome experience for me, because obviously they've done it before. They are extremely spiritual people. They believe in the medicine. They believe in the plant. They've seen what it can do. And they've seen, obviously, the good, bad, and the ugly, I'm assuming, over their time in experiencing that. But do not think that this is something that you can go and do on your own. It is recommended that you only do it with experienced shamans if you decide to do that. Now, I found an article on the Vox by Sean Illing, I believe, November 2nd, 2019, it was written, and it's called The Brutal Mirror, What the Psychedelic Drug Ayahuasca Showed Me About My Life. And he goes on to talk really deeply about his experience, and it's extremely similar to mine, only he did his for 4 days. I went into a ceremony room full of people, and you don't know these people, and you drink the ayahuasca, and it tastes like molasses and licorice. It's a little bit sickening. Even now, the thought of it makes me feel like I'm going to vomit. It is one to note that ayahuasca can actually bring on diarrhea, vomiting, all kinds of bodily functions that are just, you know, involuntary. Now, we were laying on beautiful yoga mats in this incredible space, and I had taken a blanket and something to cover my eyes with and a pillow, and you basically need to get comfortable because you're going to be there for hours and you're going to be in your head for hours just laying there. And our beautiful shaman sang some absolutely incredible songs. It was magic. It was a really beautiful experience. And he had the most beautiful voice. And that was the music was a huge part of it. And it is usually used throughout the experience to deepen the experience as well. The music is part of it. Now, I laid there. I took my ayahuasca and I laid there on my mat. I sat up at first, actually, and then I laid there on my mat kind of trying to be calm. I was very nervous. I was very anxious. Psychedelic drugs is not a space in which I have spent much time in. Microdosing is a completely different scenario, and I think that that's an entirely different podcast in itself. But you don't microdose with ayahuasca. That's more of a mushroom thing, by the way. Do not recommend. And I laid down for quite some time. When you're in this experience, there are no clocks. You don't have your phone. So you have no idea what the time is. I'm still not sure. But I laid there and waited for it to come through. Maybe about 30 minutes. And the first thing I did was feel quite sick. I was like, and purging in this experience is actually seen as something quite sacred. It's seen as something that you want to happen, because not only are you purging physically, vomiting, for those of you that are like, what's she talking about? You are not only vomiting on a physical level, but also an emotional level as well. So you're given a toilet roll, you're given a bucket. Everyone's got their own toilet roll, their own bucket. And the first thing that I noticed was I didn't know what I needed from my body. My body was like, do I want to sit down? Do I want to get up? Do I need to go to the bathroom? Do I need to vomit? I wasn't sure. I started getting very uncomfortable in my skin at first, and I was, am I going to die? I felt very overwhelmed. And I laid there and I was like, yeah, you have to breathe through it. And the shamans had told us at the beginning, the number one thing that you need to remember throughout this, because it is intense, is that you need to come back to your breath. That whenever you get stuck within this experience, slow down your breathing, come back into your body. Now, I really struggled with that. Breathing, I was like, am I breathing? Am I not breathing? For me, it was a little bit confusing at the beginning. And then I vomited. And I vomited a hell of a lot throughout that experience. And then I went on the most profound spiritual journey of my life. And yeah, some people are going to go, she's lost her mind. She's doing psychedelics. You know, that's not normal behavior for her. But for me, look, I'm definitely a one and done kind of woman. I definitely touched the edges of myself, of the earth. I felt like I got died and that I got reborn. I struggled with between what is reality and what isn't for quite some time within that experience. I was very concerned. It's obviously a hallucinogenic. So you see some things that just can't make sense within this world. And it's, for me, I went in with the one, we talked about this at the beginning. You go in and you have your takeaway that you want to experience within that. And some people got exactly what they needed, and other people got the opposite, which is believed by the shamans to be what you need versus what you want. And for me, I went in with the aim to heal my heart. Love for me throughout my life has been a source of great pain. And I wanted to understand that pain. I wanted to get inside it. I wanted to really kind of feel it from a very, very deep perspective that I felt like I hadn't been able to uncover until that moment. But this guy on the article on the Vox actually described it as the most honest mirror that you'll even look into at yourself. And that 100% is a really great description of what happens. Now, I'm going to try and put my experience into words. Some of it obviously is a very private experience that I won't be sharing, but the first thing that happened to me was I began to really make sense of my life. I was shown my life path. I was shown my entire life up until this point. I was shown my life after this point as well. And I was shown all of the hurt that I had endured within my relationships. I was shown all of the pain. It was very confronting to go through at that level. I feel like I might even get emotional now. It's very confronting for me. And now I'm just looking over this article as I can, so I can bring it through clearly. But it also says here that ayahuasca exposes the gap between who you think you are and who you actually are. And I've never really had any self-hatred for myself. I think I'm all right. I'm like, you know what? You're doing okay. Self-love, I didn't realize till this experience, has been something that I have wrestled with since being left pregnant. It's been something that I have wrestled with for 7 years. My daughter's 7 years old now. Now, the pain, this guy has described it, and I'm using his words because it's the only way that I can articulate it. The pain of seeing that pain for the first time was unbearable. Standing within those memories, and they came through like very quick visions, as they do when I do psychic readings. But these were my own, you know, these were something that I had to face. And I saw why I had had the childhood that I had. I saw my parents and the pain that they brought into their relationship and the pain that they brought into raising me. And that they were just, I've always had a very human experience with my parents. I've always understood that they're just souls put into a body trying to do the very best that they can. But I saw their experience as parents and souls more deeply. And how they do that is, or how my experience unfolded, I should say, it was a series of visions of my childhood and of their childhood. And it was very deep. It was very confronting is the only word that I can use there. And from there, I went on to see how that had played out within my own relationships. As we all know, does happen. That's not something that's out of this reality, right? We all know that that does happen. But when you come face to face with it in your mind, in the sense of it's a video that you're watching in your mind's eye, let me tell you, it is one of the most confronting moments of your life to be shown your own life. Because as we know, or some of us may believe, that at the end of your life, those, I believe, 7 minutes after, or 7 seconds, I forget the exact time frame, you go through a life review and your life is played out in front of you. And this is what happened for me, but I'm still alive, you know, to the best of my knowledge. Reality has taken a bit of a hit for me. The whole reality and the way that I viewed everything is now changed, which is kind of amazing, but it's taken me definitely a few days to really digest and to really unpack and sit within what I experienced. Now, I really needed to see what I saw. Now, the reason why I have an Instagram account at all is because I wrote about being left pregnant. And I had never seen that experience. I had tried to put myself in his shoes and, you know, as you do when you're left in a very emotional time. You try and put yourself in the other person. Why did they do this to me? And how come that happened? And I had never actually viewed it from his shoes to this depth before. And I think because it had a layer of the ego over the top of it and the story that I'd told myself to protect myself from the pain. Now, I will go a little bit more deeper into the ego and the whole death and the rebirth of it in a moment. But for me, I had to sit within that experience of being left pregnant. I had to sit with the reality of what actually happened. And I suffered prenatal depression. And I was acting crazy. I was acting like a crazy woman. And I knew that after he had left me. I knew that I had really acted in ways that I didn't make sense of, that he obviously didn't know how to digest and make sense of. But it wasn't until this I always thought, you know, he either cheated on me or he fell out of love with me and he left me. And it wasn't until I sat within this experience that I realized he did not know how to help me within that prenatal depression. I was not diagnosed with prenatal depression until after he left. And for those of you that are listening that may have experienced that, hand on heart, it is one of the most challenging things, because if you have not experienced depression in your lifetime and then you're pregnant with a baby, it's a very deep experience in itself. You start wondering, am I going to be a good mom? And all of your childhood shit comes bubbling to the surface. And even if you had a pretty good childhood, it will still bubble up. There might be something that your parents did that really created that trauma or created one experience that has really sat with you and you're like, I really don't want to bring that into my parenthood. So not only was I trying to make sense of becoming a mother with childhood trauma. Now, my childhood was pretty good compared to other people's. I'm not going to say that mine was horrific or awful. It was just that my parents were, you know, they were struggling with their own stuff and they were still really deep in their own stuff. And I now have so much compassion. I always have had that compassion for them. I've always just, probably the psychic in me has always had that deep understanding of, you know, that my parents are just souls and they're just doing the best that they can. And, you know, not to have that putting my parents on a pedestal, which can get a lot of people into a lot of trouble because they pedestal them and then they don't live up to their expectations. But for me, I was deep in that experience of being like, any of that trauma, I don't want to bring it in. How do I stop it? And how do I not relive that trauma within my relationship? And how do I not bring that through into my parenting? And how do I be a better mom? And how does he be a better dad? And how does, you know, this all unfold? But I'm also trying to deal with these really insane hormone-induced depression that I hadn't experienced in my life. I hadn't experienced anxiety or depression before. And if I had, I certainly didn't realize that I had. So it was something that really caught me by surprise. And even I didn't know how to help myself. Like one day I was like, I want to keep the baby. Then I was like, no, I can't. And then I was like, yes, I want to. And I want to be a family, but no, I don't. But I trust you, but no, I don't. And I was all over the place. I was a absolute hot mess express. And this poor guy is very soft-hearted, and he was just trying to make sense of what the fuck I was doing. And I had always not blamed him for leaving me, because I never blamed him, but I definitely made up a narrative in my head about what had happened, because I was basically insane. I was like, this is what happened. He's cheated. He's done this. He's left. Like, what the hell? While I don't condone leaving anyone, this ayahuasca experience showed me that he felt like he didn't have a choice. And of course that he probably wishes now that we had have talked about it and we had have, you know, consciously uncoupled for a while or whatever it might be. Of course that we both have hindsight, and that's a beautiful thing, right? But in the moment, like, it unfolded in such a really trauma-inducing way for the both of us, right? I was given a huge abandonment wound from that, and he was given a huge, you know, not being a man, not being there for me, not being there for his daughter, not being there when she was born. That's a huge trauma that I can see that he carries to this day. And I'm not going to speak on his experience, but what this ayahuasca did is I actually had a really heartfelt and deep conversation with him. Actually, it's continuing on this morning. that's a very emotional thing because it's pain that we have both carried for 7 years. We've carried this burden, this pain on our hearts of what happened when that went down. And for me, it's been a huge deep pain. And for the, some of you might even be listening that have followed me on Instagram since that unfolded, it's caused me extreme pain in my life. It's also caused him extreme pain. But what I didn't know and the perception, and it's so much deeper than what I can even put into words here, but what I didn't know or what I was never able to perceive without this spiritual experience happening with the ayahuasca was that he just left because he did not know what else to do with me. And I didn't know what to do with me, but yet I had placed all of this weight around being left pregnant. I'd placed a lot of weight on that, you know. And for me, that weight had continued for 7 years of my life. That pain, it was like a bloody huge rock dragging me down. Now, a very deep spiritual experience happened within that, and continued on throughout my journey that day on the retreat. Now, I stored a lot of that trauma from being pregnant alone and not knowing where he was and birthing my daughter without knowing where he was in the world. I stored it in my hips. And I've had extreme hip pain since then, and I've seen every professional under the sun. They were like, we're just going to have to do surgery. And I just knew in my heart intuitively that it was a spiritual issue, that it was an emotional issue that was deep-seated. It wasn't physical. It was presenting as a physical issue, but it was actually an emotional issue. Hopefully I'm making sense. Hopefully you guys are following along, because let me tell you, trying to articulate an ayahuasca experience is not the easiest thing I've had to do, but I feel like it's necessary because maybe someone out there is going to say, wow, maybe this, I had to go through this really extreme thing to be able to speak into something, and maybe it helps another person, you know, and that's why I've chosen to share what is very private. So in the experience, as I'm seeing this unfold and I'm witnessing things from his eyes through the pregnancy and through all of that, I actually had this light being person come to me. And you will only understand what I'm saying here now if you've had the experience and you've taken the ayahuasca yourself. They came to me and they said, you know, you're storing all this pain in your hip. We need to remove it now. It's time to let it go. And when I say I have spent thousands on this hip, honey, I'm not joking. I am not joking around. I have been to chiropractors over the last 7 years. I went to the Infinite Healing Potential Center. I've done the spinal, the spinal energetics. I've done spinal energetics. I have done chiro. I've done osteo. I've done physio. I have seen specialist after specialist and painkiller after painkiller. I've even stayed in hospital at one stage, and, you know, you name it, I've done it. Needles, I've put them in there. I've done I can't even think of the name, acupuncture. I've done acupuncture. You know, all this stuff's very expensive. And it wasn't until this light being person came to me, and I know I sound like a complete baddie woman right now, they came to me in this experience and they said, you know, this that you've just witnessed in front of you, which was the whole story of my pregnancy and thereafter being played out in front of my eyes like a movie, this of what you experience is held in your hips and we need to take it out now. And they grabbed this gold thread and they started pulling out these memories from my hips, and I watched them kind of drift and fade off into the netherness. And I was like, I could feel, and my actual physical body was involuntarily, if you've seen spinal energetics and the way that the body moves through that, it was doing all those kinds of movements, shaking back and forth, quite aggressively as they were pulling out this gold thread memory that drifted off into the netherness. And I am now pain-free. I'm now pain-free, and that is something that I'm a little bit in disbelief about, very disbelief. I'm in a lot of disbelief about it. I still can't fully believe that that is something that came about. I didn't go into it thinking that I would heal that, if that makes sense. I thought that it would be a profound emotional clearing. I went into it with the view that it's no different to having a chakra healing or any of that. And I went into it not really realizing that that was something that was going to happen. So I actually came home from the experience. Excuse me, I'm actually woken up with a bit of a cough and a cold. So I'm trying to get my voice to do its thing, but it's not. I'll clear my throat again. Sorry. So I actually came home from that experience and I sat in my bed and I just kind of stared at the wall and was like, that's when I realized, hang on, I'm sitting up in bed and I've got no pain, because usually any kind of sitting anywhere is very painful for me. And I was like, oh my gosh, like the pain's gone. I actually couldn't believe it. And now I'm quite a few days on from that experience and the pain has not returned. I can't bend down to pick up things. I have to get Ever to get something if it's fallen on the ground. I've not been able to even bend over to like take the rubbish out of the bin or, you know, sit in the car for a long period of time. It's been a very in-depth physical issue that I've had for years. And at one stage it got so awful that I actually couldn't walk at all. I lost the ability, my spine, it created a stenosis of the spine. And my spine had like thinned basically, and it wasn't able to say, it was like I was thinking that I wanted to walk, but the signal wasn't going from the brain to the legs. So yeah, it was really terrifying not being able to walk. And I'm obviously, and now I'm a few days past that experience and the pain has not returned. I can feel different in that area where the pain was stored. It was right in the back of, you know, where they kind of hips join, I suppose, in the middle, or they, yeah, join, right in that left joint there. It was there for years. Oh my gosh, it caused me absolute horrific experiences. And I could actually feel these light beings pulling the pain out through these memories that dissolved. And that by far was incredibly life-changing. And for me, what happened was I was shown all of these deep emotional experiences that I had gone through. I was shown why, you know, why that pain was stored there. I was shown why there was actually something on the right side of my brain that was causing me issues. And they told me that they were going to heal it. And I won't go any further into that because I feel like it's a very private thing. But yeah, it's now gone. I was told that it was gone. I haven't gone to get checks or anything like that. I probably should. but I was also shown why I was gifted my daughter with the man that I was gifted her with, you know, and what we've both taught each other throughout these 7 years of raising her as co-parents, and, you know, how we were supposed to be together to raise this child, and what has unfolded from that. So it was very deep. It was very profound, that part of it. And obviously life-changing, because that's something I have struggled with for 7 years. And then we went through, you know, my friends and why I have let go of friendships recently, you know, and that they weren't for my highest. And it showed me in my current circle who is my true friends and who is down for me and who is not. And the circle was a lot smaller than I thought it would be. It was a lot smaller, and it showed me people in my life that show up for me just because it is something that, you know, they feel obliged to do, or, you know, that they're not in it with their full heart, and the integrity and the authenticity of the connection of our friendship is not true. And so I've had to make changes within that department as well. And I was shown previous friendships through that experience and why they, you know, dissolved at that time that they did, and why those people behaved in the way that they had. And we went into a little bit of their trauma and why they've behaved like that. And obviously recently I had my partner actually leave me for a friend, and that in itself created a lot of trauma. it created a lot of pain, and it was something that I hadn't experienced before. The betrayal was very deep, and the pain that came from that was very hard to navigate. It created a lot of anger. It created a lot of rage. It created a lot of, rage, very deep rage, very deep anger. And obviously I had a bit of a health issue recently, and I just knew that that health issue was linked to what I had unfolded within that experience that I had not yet unpacked, that I had not yet faced within myself. And it was really challenging. That was really challenging. But also they showed me that who even cares, you know? And that's as simple as it was within that experience. I didn't need to hear anything else from that. It was more like, why would you care what two really dishonest people have done on your timeline, in your life here? And that was as simple as all that had to be kind of woven into my brain, if that makes sense. And I'm probably not making a lot of sense. Hopefully there are some people out there that are like, yes, I get it, or I've experienced that, or I've been through that ayahuasca journey, and so I know exactly what you're talking about and exactly those experiences, that it can be something so simple, but it creates that profound change. And for me, that's what happened through that. It was like, why would you waste your time letting these people poison your system, which is what anger is, which is what rage is. It's poison to the system. Why would you let these people that are dishonest, that have karmic bonds, why would you let them come and disrupt your flow and disrupt your energy and your life force with the feelings of rage and anger? And it was as simple as that. And it was really, that's all I had to experience from that. I did think going into it that that would be a more discussed topic, but it was like, you know what? Like, you actually don't need to care about that. Like, it's not something that you need to continue going over, because that was not your pain. That was not your pain to carry. Yeah, so it was really interesting. And from that, I went on to, I had a lot of questions, obviously, of these people and my spirit guides that had come through within that experience. Like, what is the meaning of life? And one thing that happened that was extremely deep, which I came out of it, and the second I got home and into the safety of my bed so that I could kind of be like, you know, digesting what had happened, I actually started researching to see if it was true, the information that they told me. Because when you do DMT, you obviously, you can travel, you can astral travel, you can go through different realms, you can leave your body, which is definitely what happened for me. And it was very confronting. I didn't like the experience of leaving my body. It definitely showed me when, you know, when you look out a plane window, and I know I'm going a little bit off topic, but I'm trying my best to articulate. I'm trying my best to articulate with a flu, mind you. Sorry for coughing in your ear. I'm trying my best to articulate what was a very ineffable, thank you to the beautiful woman in that experience that said that that's what it was. Ineffable means you can't put it into words. It was a very ineffable experience. So I want to just clarify this one little thing, and then I promise I'll let it go and move on. But you know, when you look out a plane window and even any issue that you might have within that moment seems so minute and so small, because you are reminded of your own insignificance. And you're reminded of how small you are in the big grand scheme of the earth, and all the little people that you can see as you fly in just going about their day as the plane gets lower to the ground. I was lucky enough to be a flight attendant for a period of time, so I was lucky enough to see it from the cockpit, which if you've been in there, you'll know just how groundbreaking it is and how you can see things at such a great expansive level. It was like that. It was like being in the cockpit and having the whole just horizon out in front of you, but at a cloud level, you know. And it was groundbreaking. It was life-changing to see things. It was just like being in the plane window and viewing people just going about their day, but times 10 million, you know. I was like, wow, this is groundbreaking. I'm using that word a lot, but that's all it's so hard to articulate. But I had this experience where I floated up out of my body once I'd learned the lessons that I needed to learn, and we'd done the physical healing on the physical body, and we'd done the emotional healing from the deep heart issues that I had held on to and the pain that I had experienced in this life, once we kind of unpacked where that had come from to rid it from the body. I then floated up with these light being people, spirit guides, whatever you want to say. I floated up with them and they told me that where you are now is what people experience when they die. And I was like, what? The colors were, you know, incredible. The green was extremely green. The blue of the sky was just magnificent. A kookaburra came at one stage and sat in the tree and was just staring right at me. And that was a really, really incredible moment within that experience, because I realized like how it's all so intricately intertwined and the beauty of how we exist with the earth and how currently in this day and age, we have come so far from that pure existence, whether you want to call it God energy, source, you know, Allah, whatever you feel is right for you. We have come so far from that pure existence of where we should be. And there were some confronting things that I found during that. For example, they showed me, you know, how the earth works and how everything is so intricately wound together. And this is going to be extremely controversial, but I spoke to God in that moment. And I know that for some that's not possible. You know, it was only in a hallucinogenic, so you were just hallucinating. And if you have experienced DMT, you will know what I mean. If you have also, and many of us have stated that they have had that conversation, that they have spoken to those on the other side, that they have spoken to that godlike energy. And what he told me was really, it kind of demystified a lot for me. Obviously, I've gone to church previously in my life. I've read the Bible. I've really given a lot of my life to that belief. And whilst I believe that that for me is the closest to what you can possibly get to worshipping, I suppose, this source, this energy that is godlike, you can't put a name on it, right? It's us that has put a name on it, right? And that's all I'm going to say on that. That's all I'm going to say on that topic is how can you define something that is indefinable and who defined it, right? Going big here on a Monday, people. But I'm trying my best to do it. I'm trying my best to articulate what happened up there. Now, they were basically saying like it is not definable and you can't define something that is not definable. And I was like, wow, like fucking mind blown. I was like, yeah, right. And they said, you know, many people have tried to define what this energy is. Some, and this is all I'm going to say, some have used it as a way to control the masses. That was really groundbreaking for me. I was like, okay, cool. And I was like shown why I'm a psychic medium and what I deal in when I am connecting to the other side, and that it is God energy and that it is lifting the veil to speak to those, if that makes sense. It was lifting the veil, and it is. And I do that every day. I do 4 clients a day. It's absolutely beautiful to be able to give people that lifting of that grief, to be able to give people that change, and to be able to say to them, you know, this person wants you to, you know, let that go off your heart. You know, for some people, especially those that lost family members through COVID, they have carried that grief so deeply. It's so deeply ingrained in their body because they did not get to say goodbye. They might not have been let into the hospital due to restrictions, due to lockdowns, due to the hospital going into lockdown and you're only allowed in if you're a patient or if you're a person that needs the help. That created such trauma. I know that I'm getting a bit cranky here, but that created such deep trauma within many of my clients that they won't be able to be there for their family members or their children or their parents as they said their final goodbyes. That moment was stolen from them. That moment was taken from them. And to be able to say the final words from their parent or their child or their loved one that had passed, to be able to pass on those final words, wow, like it's such an incredibly magnificent thing that I'm able to do in this life, and I feel incredibly grateful. Not that I didn't feel grateful before this experience, but now it's like the puzzle piece finally dropped, or the penny dropped. The puzzle piece finally fit in there, the penny finally dropped, and I was like, I get it at such a deep level now that, yes, this is my soul's purpose. And this is what I'm here to do in this lifetime. And it was as simple as accessing my gift and using it, right? Now, something that I want to talk about that I'm going to go slightly off topic from the ayahuasca journey here, but many people come to me and they say, and it kind of does tie in with my ayahuasca actually. Now, many people come to me and they say to me, you know, Layla, I'm just in childcare, or Layla, I just work, you know, with my, at my husband's business, I do the books or whatever, which is true for many wives and partners. And I'm like, okay, let's unpack. I want to get to the soul level of what you do here as a soul. Let's strip back the body, leave it behind, forget about that. Let's go to the soul level of what you actually do here as a soul. Forget yourself for a second and think of yourself as energy. Now, for the lady that said to me, I'm just in childcare. Well, you're not just in childcare. That's completely untrue. For those that are in childcare or schooling or whatever it might be, they're very special souls that are put here to guide other souls, which is, let's take the bodies out of it, to guide other souls out into the world to see what they want to do with their purpose and their gift. Their job is to find children's gifts, right? And you may not, you might be having a bit of a mind-blowing moment yourself now, because maybe you didn't view that to that level before. Of if you unpack your purpose or your current job, let's just say your current job, you're unpacking that down to the very soul level of what it really is, right? And you might go, oh, I just make sandwiches at a cafe. I'm not, there's nothing soul-like about that. Ah, no, untrue. If you're someone that does something as simple as that, let's unpack it at the soul level. No, you're nourishing other souls. And you walk into a coffee shop sometimes to get your coffee from someone, and they are so full of beauty and light that they make your whole day, right? Think about that as a soul transaction. Now, this is something that I have done with clients prior to ayahuasca. Is if someone's struggling with their soul purpose, I'm like, right, let's unpack it. Let's go to the core of who you are. And this is something that I do with my business clients. I've got my psychic business mentoring clients where we unpack their purpose through a series of going, okay, let's simplify. Let's get to the soul of it. Let's simplify. Let's get to the soul of it until we've got the answer. It's a beautiful drawn out process, but it's absolutely groundbreaking. When you see that client get that light bulb moment and they're like, oh, I see my purpose. I see it with clarity, because that's what we're all here to find out, right? What's our purpose? Why are we here on the earth? What was my soul brought here for? What am I here to do? And if you don't have clarity on that, it can cause a lot of stress, a lot of confusion, and a lot of pain for you. And I've been in there. I've experienced that. And I probably may experience it again in the future when I rejig my life, or you know, I redesign my life. You're going to have those moments where you've fulfilled that soul's purpose for that season. And then once again, you're at the square one where you're like, okay, what's my soul here to do? I fulfilled that season of my soul's purpose and now I'm lost. Now I've got no fucking idea. I'm back to square one. I feel confused. I'm having an identity crisis, particularly as mothers. That's something that we really struggle with. And I was shown within this ayahuasca experience, I was shown why it's so vital for me to do the work that I do. The soul's purpose was reignited to a supercharged fucking level, let me tell you. I now feel incredibly centered and grounded. Sure, I feel a little bit confused because I'm like, that was a lot. They also showed me that I'm going to write a book. And this book is life-changing for so many. It's healing for me, which I have started writing it. The second I got home from that ayahuasca experience, I was like, grab that computer, write down what you've just experienced, try and make sense of it, but also this book that they showed you, it needs to be in the book, this ayahuasca, this groundbreaking moment in your life, this huge catalyst for incredible change has to be discussed. There's no way around it, you know. And I was a bit hesitant because I think psychedelics, because they're so, I guess, like not widely discussed, not many people want to face themselves at the level that you do within these experiences. There are a lot of people that are like, I'm too controlling. I don't want to lose control. I'm not okay with losing control. But if we look at that, it's like life, you have no control over life. You could walk outside tomorrow and you get hit by a rubbish truck, you know. You could walk outside tomorrow and just drop dead. Lightning could strike you. Life, you have no control over it. Unfortunately, surrender is the only way through. Now, I also got that with one of the shamans because at one stage within my experience, I was like, I want out. Give me the antidote. I'm out. I'm over this. I'm done. And she's like, Layla, you are not done. You need to be in it. The only way out is through this experience. And I was like, I don't want to. I started crying. I was my whole body was convulsing and shaking and sweating and crying all at once. I was releasing so much. And she came, this beautiful woman came, and she put her hands on my head and on my shoulder. And she said, listen, you're okay. You're safe. What you are doing now, your past generations are so proud of you, and your future generations are going to thank you for. You are doing something that not many people do. You're coming face to face with losing control of yourself. And I was in the moment. I was not in control. I was not in control of anything. And it was really, really confronting. Now, something that I will say is I went out after that moment. I had had a really in-depth discussion with the shaman in that moment. I'd had a very in-depth discussion with her. And I said to her, I don't even know. I don't have words. And she was like, you don't need to try and talk. You just need to be in this. And I was like, I'm so scared of facing it. Like, I know that they're going to want to take me deeper in this right now, and I'm not ready. And she was like, you are ready. And I was like, no, no, no. And she's like, you're in a resistance phase. She's like, as mothers, we do this when we birth. We go through this resistance, right? We go through that turn and we're like, I can't do it. I'm going to die. She's like, you're in that right now. You're in the, I can't do it. I'm going to die. I'm not going to make it. Please save me. Give me an epidural. She's like, you're there now. Only you're like, give me the antidote. And I was like, okay, amazing. And she's like, you can get through it. Once she put it in that phrase and in that term, I then zhunk. Off I went into my birth of my daughter. The movie started playing out of the birth of my daughter. And how I really struggled to be there for her as a newborn mum because I was so in the pain still of being left pregnant. I was so deep in my own emotional experience that I really struggled to be there. I was there. I was doing all the things that you had to do. I was ticking off the list as a mum, changing the nappy, doing the feeding. But emotionally, I was so in my own self that emotionally her soul probably wasn't feeling held, you know. And now all we do is hold each other constantly. We sleep together. We do everything together. I'm no longer in a phase where I'm trying to get her out of my bed. I now actually feel quite comfortable having her soul next to me, and I feel quite strange. And, you know, it's because as mothers, we're told this whole get them out of your bed or you're never going to get them out. You know, they've got to be in their own space. And I've just let that go. And I'm like, some nights she wants to sleep in her own bed, but when she needs me, I'm always here. So now we are the complete opposite of how we started, and that growth I was shown throughout that experience. I was shown a lot of death throughout my experience. I was told that I was having an ego death by these beings because I was yelling, I'm dying. And I ran out onto the grass and I dropped to my knees under the beautiful sunshine and I just looked up at that sky and I looked into the trees and I saw how harmonious the whole world worked with itself. And I was like, wow, like it felt, I could feel under that sun beaming down onto me that I was reborn in that moment, that I had died. I had in fact died, and I had stripped back every part of myself that wasn't serving me. They do tell you before you go in that ayahuasca, one dose of ayahuasca or one ayahuasca ceremony equals to around 10 years of psychotherapy. And what I can say to you is I 1000% experienced that kind of enormity within my experience. Even when I got home, my dad had my daughter. And when I got home, my dad said to me, "You look different." And I felt different. The second I woke up, I felt lighter. I didn't have my pain anymore. Or the second I came out of it, I should say. You're awake, but you're not, if that makes sense. You're in your mind's eye is the only way that I can describe it. But even my dad said to me, "You look different." And the only way that I can describe it of what they actually showed me about myself was that I had really stripped back myself. I had realized that I had carried a lot of anger from my childhood. I had carried a lot of rage from my childhood. And I had put it into parts of my soul. And it was as if I had poured my soul into my body in a very jagged and aggressive somewhat way. And when I got home, my dad said to me, "Your face just looks very well rested." And I was like, "Dad, I can assure you I'm not well rested. I feel like I'm so rattled. I feel really like, yeah, I don't even know what the meaning of life is right now. I was shown the meaning of life, but it's challenged a lot of the constructs that I have as a human, and I'm feeling really confused." And he said, "You just look lighter. It's as if a lot of pain has been taken away from you." And I was like, wow, well, that's how I feel. And it's how I've felt since, you know, in digesting that and coming out of that. It's how I felt since that moment is that I feel lighter. I feel not like myself at all, but I feel more like myself than I have my entire life. It's a real catch 22. It's a real polar opposite, but it's the same all at once. And this for me has been by far, you know, when you think that you're dying, when you are in a psychedelic experience and you're experiencing DMT, which DMT is released when you actually die, you think that you're dying because you're shown the earth, you're shown heaven, you're shown what happens when you pass and how I'd always thought that, you know, we go up to the clouds, you know, that's what I'd thought. And the truth is none of us really know until we've actually done it, but doing DMT is the closest that you're going to get to dying. A lady next to me in the experience, they were all walks of life. There were professionals in there. There were very wealthy people. There were very hippie people. There are all walks of life in there. And there was a lovely lady that was next to me and she's married, like a middle-aged lady. And she said to me, she said, "I have a lot of death around me and I no longer fear dying. And I've always been very scared of dying." And I just knew in that moment that she had seen similar to what I've seen. We had visited where you go when you die, which is scientifically proven. For those of you that are out there like, what the fuck, Layla? It's scientifically proven that when you die, DMT is released. And I took DMT. That's what it is. DMT is released after you die or in the dying process. And I knew that that woman, even though I didn't know her, that we had had that same experience. And they showed me, you know, how they say, you know, that spirits have to walk towards the light. Let me tell you, it is the brightest, whitest, most beautiful light that you've ever seen. And it is love. And that's the only frequency that I can experience. It's love times 1 million, you know. And I know that there's been, you know, put the rice in the bottle and you write hate on one and you write one on the other and the one that you've write love on is thriving and the one that you put hate on is all yucky and moldy. And, you know, words have power. Words have frequency. We are all very aware of that. That is the truth of the matter. But I think so many people they haven't had this experience. So I'm sure people are listening going, what in the fuck is Layla talking about? But let me tell you, unless you have visited that same frequency, that DMT that you release when you die, unless you have actually ingested that and been within that experience, you can't understand it. And I know that I'm doing my best to actually articulate it, and I hope that I've made sense. I hope that there's not a whole lot of people that are like, I'm going to go and do this. It sounds cool. Let me tell you, it has changed my life, but I went through heaven and hell literally to get here. You literally touch the sides of death, in my opinion. You're like out there touching it. Like, people have died in this experience. And I believe that there was one point within that experience that I was like, I don't know how to get back. And I want to cross over now because I love this frequency so much. I loved feeling that in extreme love. I loved that I could see the beautiful whites of the other side. I loved that I could see that the trees were more magnificent, that people there just seemed to understand each other so much more, that there was no ego. The ego was so stripped away, that there was no hate, there was no anger, there was only love. I had a client recently ask me, what is hell? Is there a hell? And what is your, like, what is your experience? What would you say that hell is with what you experience being a psychic medium? And I said, I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in it. I think that's a construct that was made up for control. But what I do believe is that if you come to this earth and you do something horrific, and I'm going to mention Hannah Clark's story because I just listened to it on the podcast, and I'm thinking many of you may have listened, and it was one of the worst things that I've ever heard. I was crying. It was very difficult. If you don't do something as disgusting as what, I'm not even going to mention that person's name, but if you do something as disgusting as what he did, hell is a place where you relive that moment. You relive the pain. You relive what you put on those people. You relive what you did to those people. You relive that same regrettable feeling, that same, holy fuck, I've just did what he did. I don't even want to talk about it because it's very hard and it might trigger people. But I truly believe that that is hell. Is that anything that you have done that is bad within your lifetime, that is extremely awful, that it's not a like there's no recognition of it, if that makes sense. You know, obviously when I had my experience with the DMT, with the ayahuasca, I did see some things in there that I was like, geez, like I did that and I made that narrative in my head. I created my own pain with my own ego, my own story. And that was hard for me to come to terms with. That was really hard to face. It was challenging for me to look at. It was challenging for me to bear witness of myself. Bear witness to yourself, from your own point of view, right? It was challenging. But hell for me is a place where there is no recognition. You just relive it and you relive it and you relive it and you relive it. And hopefully after you've experienced that pain, that shame, that awful, horrible thing that you've done, then you hopefully will get to a point where you can go, okay, I understand now. But it's replayed until you do. And how awful must that feel for people? I believe that is hell. But what I saw when I did this ayahuasca is only love. For me, my experience was only beauty. It was only light colors. It was only this absolutely profound, like awe-inspiring moment where I saw my entire life play out. I saw my future play out and I saw my husband and I saw what's going to happen there, which is a private moment that I won't be sharing, but I saw my future. And sure, it wasn't all rainbows, but I saw my future. And it was just something that made me really bear witness to where I'm at within my life and be really grateful for where I am. Yeah. And I hope that me sharing this has given some insight. I hope that now sharing this and sharing what I have, I'm now able to show up in such a deep way for my clients that I know I wouldn't have ever been able to have done had I not have taken myself to the depths that I did within that ayahuasca experience. I know now that I wouldn't have been able to have the incredibly open conversation that I had with my co-parent. And for years and years, we've kind of danced around that conversation. We haven't had a bare all conversation in the way that we have had in the last few days. And what a beautiful thing for our daughter, you know, that that pain is gone, that we finally see each other in that light, that we finally realize, like, geez, that was fucked up. What we both put each other through, what we both went through. That was pretty messed up. But hey, like for the last few years, we've co-parented so well. It's been very beautiful. Our daughter has thrived because we have worked so hard on ourselves. We've worked so hard on our co-parenting. And we've worked so hard in our parenting separately as well. How beautiful that she gets to experience that. And what I would like people to take away from this experience is not, I'm going to run out and do ayahuasca and I hope to God that I have that experience. I hope that the right people go and seek out that ayahuasca or it seeks them. I hope that the right people that need it are like, I'm going to go and find that. Right? I hope that that is true for some people. But I also really hope that throughout this is that the people that I now come into contact with in my work, that we can get to new levels, you know. I've been a medium now for nearly a year. We're approaching the year mark and it has changed my life exponentially for the better. And I faced a lot of backlash from those in the Christian community of, you know, you're coinciding with the devil and you're doing all this bad stuff and, you know, you're not even speaking to the dead, you're speaking to devil energy and, you know, they're entities. And I can hand on heart say that is absolutely not the case. And I've known that prior to this experience. You know what you're dealing with yourself. And as long as you're doing it with love and the highest of integrity, nothing is going to come through that isn't for my clients absolute and highest good. And if you're a client of mine, you would know how profound our sessions are. If you're a client, you would know the grief that we shift and those epiphanies that we've had and just how deep we really have gone and how much I've held space. And it's shown through my testimonials. The evidence is undeniable and it's there. So I'm really looking forward now to stepping into that really deeper side of myself. I feel like I've gotten rid of a lot of those constructs and a lot of that ego that was holding me back and keeping me stuck. I feel like I'm now operating from full heart capacity. Not that I have not done things with great heart in the past, but part of my heart was so wounded, particularly through the relationship sector, that having that healthy relationship always seemed somewhat out of reach. And I recently was dating someone and he was incredible on paper. He was absolutely beautiful looking. He was incredible on paper. And I woke up one day and I just realized that person's not my person and I need to release him. And that was really, really hard. You know, and I did wrestle with it for a while and the ego definitely stepped in and was like, no, this is what's going to happen. And I really wrestled with it. And then I decided, no, this is not for your highest. This is not for your highest and you need to release it. And ever since doing that, I feel like I've made really, really great decisions in dating. I feel like the people that I've surrounded myself with are of a higher level. And I feel like the people that I am surrounding myself with in general are much more deeper. I feel like the frequency has changed of my whole entire being. And I hope that my clients are going to benefit from it deeply. And my motherhood, obviously, my co-parenting, me being a daughter, me being a sister and a friend. I know that this has changed me at a deep level, and I felt like it was necessary that I share what I've experienced, and I share that what has gone down. Because for me, it has been, it has been something that I feel inherently changed within myself. And that can happen. And there are many articles on Google of people that have had the same interactions and people that have had that same experience. But it's definitely shown me just incredible, honest change that I needed to make, that was required of me to move into this next season of life as a spiritual woman, as someone that is a psychic medium, as someone that is studying kinesiology, and hopefully we'll be finishing that up soon so that I can get out there and get practicing and get healing people. And I hope that, you know, this is going to really change that and bring through that just deepness that I feel like I was missing prior. But yeah, I hope that this has made a bit of sense. I'm sure that the people that have experienced ayahuasca are like, oh girl, I know. I'm sure you're nodding along with me. What I have experienced since then is that I used to live from my head a lot. I'm quite a heady girl, and I float up and into the third eye and into the crown quite often, which means I'm not that grounded. And because I work in the spiritual space, obviously I'm in the third eye, I'm in the crown, I'm in the throat chakra quite a lot. But I now realize that I don't need to take experiences into my psyche, that I just am and people just are. And a lot of that abrasiveness that was in my soul before, a lot of that stuff that was counterintuitive to what I actually wanted to be, that was working against me, and a lot of that stuff that was ingrained within me, maybe even from past lives, that was ingrained and stuck and stagnant and yucky, it's been released. And the whole ego death that I experience, obviously ego is a constant work in progress. You're never going to be like, oh, it's gone. We need it to survive. It keeps us safe. You need it to live. So it's not that the ego died and it's completely gone. It's something that you have to work you have to work consciously on time and time again to make sure that it doesn't dominate. You need it to be in harmony. You can't have it dominating. That's when you see people and you're like, geez, okay, there's a bit going on there. You want it to be more harmonious. But I feel different. I no longer feel like when I have an experience that it's digested and stored within my body. It's digested and it's left behind, because it just is, right? Now, my focus for the next while is to operate from the same space that I am now. Post ayahuasca, everything's very clear. The experience just happened. I'm still in connection with that, if that makes sense. I'm still connected into that experience. It's very raw. It's very real. It's very new for me. And, you know, part of being a soul is showing up as a human for this time, is that we can get to in the humanness. So my post ayahuasca intention, I guess, is that I just show up, you know, in a little less of my humanness, and that I remember that I'm a soul here having a journey as a human, not the other way around. You know, and that's something that we forget about quite often, because work, because bills, because, you know, all this stuff that we've got going on swirling around us all the time, it's so consuming that we leave the soul behind. And we stand in the humanness way too much. And then we feel disconnected, and then we have to seek the soul again. And it's a vicious cycle, right? So that is my intention that it's going to be obviously a continuous intention. And although I feel change, you still need to integrate that change. You still need to honor it. You still need to focus on it. You still need to do the work. You don't just do one ayahuasca trip and you're like, okay, right, you know, I'm changed. Tick. Doesn't work that way, unfortunately. So that's my post ayahuasca intention, is that I sit in that soul more. And even though I have to be in the humanness, because we've got to pay bills, we've got to, you know, clean the house, do the dishes, do all the things, that I still have to sit in the humanness, but I remember the soul always, and that I come back to it on a more regular basis rather than hanging out in the humanness too much. And then you go, oh, fuck, I'm disconnected. I feel off. You know, I feel depressed. I feel anxious, whatever it might be for you, whatever your reality is. And then you go, fuck, I need to get back to the soul. And so you start doing journaling, you start being conscious, and you make more conscious choices. You spend time alone. Just do that as a day-to-day process rather than a losing touch of it day by day and it's slipping through your fingers because you're too in the humanness. And then you're like, boom, got to get back to the soul. And then you do the whole Monopoly game again. Anyway, I hope that today has, I hope that speaking this out, I have tried to do it as clearly as possible. I hope that it's made sense. I hope that this has really changed you guys. I hope that you've taken away some pearl moments. I hope that there've been some of those like, oh, aha, I'm awake. I can hear what you're saying. I'm tuned in. I hope that you guys have had some of those experiences through this. And I'm excited to write this book. They showed me the cover. They showed me doing a book tour. They showed me the cover. My daughter was a bit older. So, hey, don't put no pressure on me. My daughter was a bit older. But they showed me the cover. They showed me what it's called. They helped me write it with this beautiful gold feather pen. And I know that I'm going to birth that soon. I know that it's going to come out. And I'm excited for that. So that's going to be my focus for the next little while, as well as growing the soulful space. I'm not sure about the name. I've noticed that people are a little bit confused and I have to go, you know, the soul and then full. No, not F-U-L, F-U-L-L. And then I'm like, space. Oh, is it underscore? No, it's just a space. Like the word, not a space bar. It's been a bit confusing. So I don't know if I'm going to have to do a rebrand, because I think for people that's a little bit, they're like, what? Where? How do I find a... but yeah, if you want to find me, I pretty much just spelled out my Instagram name. Feel free to come and find me, The Soulful Space. The one with the blue tick, which I had to pay for, just because of other people impersonating the account all the time, which I'm not special. It's just something that happens to, psychic mediums, scam artists use it to try and find us all the time, try and get money. And anyway, I will jump off now, and I thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for allowing me to unpack my experience with you. It's been beautiful. And if you are looking for a reading, you can find me on Instagram. I'll put it in the show notes, and I'll speak to you all soon.